Right. It's In Heavenly Places. The title, it's a page, if you actually have the book, it's page 37. And if you have the book, you know it's just a daily devotional. So we're on page 37, which is for January 31st. And because that's the title here, and the title actually is The Peril of Neglect, and then it says January 31st. And so this is what it says. It says, she's quoting Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 first, right? Okay. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And this is another thing about, you know, the Sister Wright's writings. It's not, I know it's called the spirit of prophecy, but it's not all prophecy. She shares doctrine, you know, and like here in this particular thing that we're going to be doing here in Heavenly Places, as well as in the next, after the prayer service, we're going to be reading from selected messages, and that is the section we're going to be in is chapter 8, and there's not going to be a lot of prophecy in there. Okay, it's just going to be about, you know, the love of God and you know, the things you need here. You know, we all need here. So anyway, she says, no greater gift can be bestowed upon man than that which is comprehended in Christ. A neglect to lay hold of the priceless treasure of salvation means the eternal ruin of your soul. The peril of indifference to God and neglect of his gift is measured by the greatness of salvation. God has done to the uttermost of his almighty power. The resources of infinite love have been exhausted in devising and executing the plan of redemption for man. In other words, the Lord has done absolutely everything he possibly can to get each and every one of us saved. You know, right down to the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, said, yes, I will even die for them so that they don't have to die. A lot of people miss that fact. They all seem to think that they can get to heaven on their own merits. But the Bible's clear. Sin begets death. If there's a sin, there has to be a death. No getting around that. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord had to kill something to make their clothing, right? And he made their clothing out of lambskin, or, you know, lamb's wool or whatever. At least that's my opinion. The Bible just says animal skin. And so, anyway, a lot of people don't realize that you can be saved from that death, which is actually hellfire at the end of the 1,000 years. You can be saved from damnation or death if you just accept what Jesus did 2,000 years ago for you. Then he will be, you know, in other words, the sins you committed, he'll go, okay, I'll die for those sins for you so that you don't have to die. But you got to say, okay, you got to agree to that, all right? And so she goes on, she says, God has revealed his character in the goodness, the mercy, the compassion, and the love manifested to save a race of guilty rebels. What could be done that has not been done in the provision of the plan of salvation? If the sinner remains indifferent to the manifestation of the goodness of God, if he neglects so great a salvation, what can be done to touch his hard heart? It's like the old saying goes, you know, you can lead an atheist to Christ, but you can't make him think. I mean, there's so many things that happen in a person's life that confirm God is doing all he can to reach them. And this is one of the reasons I believe that we have 1,000 years to go through those books of judgment. Because some people literally are being approached by the Lord Jesus Christ through his people on earth, trying to get them to realize they need to get saved before it's too late. Take, for example, I always bring up this one guy, because when I used to do some, you know, computer programming and networking and stuff like that for this one prison ministry many, many, many years ago, I was still a Sunday keeper at the time. And this one preacher was telling me about this this one guy that he knew on the street. At Pacific Garden Missions. And it was just like the Door of Hope that me and Pastor Russ used to go to and preach. And the Door of Hope was, you know, that was on 51st in Indiana. It's not a very good area of Chicago, but it's like a homeless shelter. But anyway, in order to get a meal, you had to sit and listen to a preacher for 15 minutes. In other words, you just sat in there, and then the preacher would get up on the pulpit and he'd preach for 15 minutes and then you'd get your meal. So if you wanted to eat 3 meals a day, you'd have to hear a preacher 3 times a day. So let me do the math here. Okay, I got to move this thing over just a tad. Okay, so I can get my calculator out. So three meals a day. So three times, let's say seven. So in a week, this man, this guy that was on Skid Row, and he was on Skid Row for 44 years. Okay? So 21 times a week, he heard the gospel message. And this is not counting preacher wannabes like myself back then. Like when Pastor S would preach, I would preach, but one-on-one. I would go and talk to the guys, you know? And so some of these guys are hearing a sermon two or three times on top of the other two or three sermons. Because there's always going to be the young guys that are, like, getting their feet wet, sharing their faith, right? So 21 times a week this guy's hearing a sermon, right? And then that's 52 weeks in a year. So that's 1,092 sermons a year. But he lived on Skid Row 44 years. So he listened to 48,048 sermons about getting saved and getting right with Christ and making it home before it's too late, right, kind of a thing, right? But yet he still died a drunkard in the gutter. What this 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says. It says no drunkards are allowed in heaven. And so this is one of the reasons I see it allows us to have that opportunity to see and to vindicate Christ, because we know that the devil's been lying about our Lord and Savior for eons, right? And what this does is, this is one of the reasons that these tears are going to be wiped away at the end of the 1,000 years when you see people that you used to love not being allowed into the city as the fire comes from above and from below and just burns them all up into ash. And then Malachi chapter 4 says we walk on their ashes that day, right? So one of the reasons, one of the main reasons the tears are wiped away is because you know for a fact you have been going through their books for the last 1,000 years. And think of the family members that went through this guy's book, who read the book and knew about their brother or their dad or their sibling, you know, whatever, or their cousin, rather, who was on Skid Row for 44 years, and he listened to a sermon minimum 48,000 times and still didn't go to heaven because he simply didn't want to be there. The sin of the flesh was far too enticing. He wanted that instead. Because he had overwhelming, it's like the book of Romans says, he's without excuse. He had overwhelming evidence that he didn't have to die. He could have accepted Christ as Savior. And so, and that's, again, my personal opinion. This is one of the reasons I see that allows for the tears to get wiped away, because for 1,000 years going through these books, and I believe another reason for the 1,000 years is because the planet has to lay fallow. It's just like in the Old Testament where the Jews were told, don't touch your land every seventh year. Let it lay fallow. Let it rest. So it had a little Sabbath, you know, like a little Sabbath rest. Well, the planet will have its Sabbath rest pretty soon. 1,000 years of peace, nothing on it. And it's not going to be 1,000 years of peace like all the Sunday keepers preach, where Christ is ruling on earth. No, it's just dead bodies, nothing, just demons roaming around and no one to tempt. So anyway, she goes on to say, it says, what importance, what magnitude it gives to the theme of redemption, that he who has undertaken the salvation of man was the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. How, then, can heaven regard those who neglect so great a salvation, wrought out for man at such infinite cost? I mean, it boggles the mind to realize what Jesus gave up, to hang on that cross. Even angels can't contemplate the love that he expressed while he was hanging on that cross. He could have gotten off the cross. We all know by reading the Bible, so you can literally say, you saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Because you read the Bible, and if you believe it, that settles it. You saw it happen. You don't necessarily have to be there. You know the Bible's true. And so if he raises Lazarus, he could have easily gotten off that cross. But love held him there. He knew if he got off, he wouldn't be the sacrifice that is prophesied that he should be. And then we would not make it home. So going on, she says, to neglect to lay hold on the rich blessings of heaven is to refuse to set at naught him, Jesus Christ, of course, who was equal with the Father, the only one who could save fallen man. Shall we through neglect of Christ throw away our one chance for eternal life? I remember one time when, there's this one guy that I knew when I was in sales, insurance sales, and he drew a picture on a napkin in a restaurant. I think it was in the office. And he showed me two, and I think many of you have seen this before. And I don't know if it's a good illustration, but for me, I don't know why it hit home for me. And that's why I'm going to share it again, because to me, right now, I wouldn't use this. I wouldn't use this on the street, because to me, it doesn't seem, but, you know, like it really puts it there. But But it worked for me that day, so I may as well share it. He drew two cliffs. One cliff on the left side of the napkin, another cliff on the right side of the napkin. He goes, okay, see that hole in the middle? And I go, yeah. Okay, now this side of the napkin, that's where you're standing. This is planet Earth. The other side of the napkin, that cliff over there, that's heaven. How are you going to get there? There's a big chasm fixed, like the Bible says. There's a great gulf fixed, just like it is with death. You can't go. You have no choice. It's you're at the will of God entirely, even especially in death, right? So how are you going to get there? Then he draws a cross. He says the only way to get there is through Christ. Because Christ is the only way you're going to go from the planet to heaven. And that's true. And for me, on that day, that was the first time I ever saw that illustration, and I thought, wow, that hit me. And it blessed me in a big way. But anyway, she goes on to say, what love, what wonderful love was displayed by the Son of God. The death we deserved was suffered to come upon him, that immortality might be given to us, who could never merit such a reward. Is not salvation great in its simplicity and wonderful in its comprehensiveness? Contemplating the fullness of the provision that God has made whereby every son and daughter of Adam may be saved, we are led to exclaim with John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And then she finishes by saying that the plan of redemption provides for every emergency and for every want of the soul. Amen and amen and amen. I hope and pray you are blessed. Be back in a minute.